This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. It is presented by Brandon Legal Group, your full service law firm. When you are in need of legal assistance, and I and Brandon Legal Group hope that never happens, but if it does, you can always reach out to Brandon Legal Group for a free consult. You need not live in Brandon. You need not work in Brandon. You need not have your legal issue originate in Brandon, Florida. They service the greater Tampa Bay area, and you need not ask what type of law they specialize in. They are a full service law firm. Call anytime for a free consult, 844-4BLG4ME. 844-4BLG4ME, or visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. The Todd Wright Toddcast is also presented by Pin Chaser, celebrating their 60th anniversary of entertainment for all. I know Jerry Seinfeld once said, there is no such thing as fun for the whole family, so I won't use that line when talking about bowling at Pin Chasers. But they've been doing it for 60 years, three locations, 32 lanes at East Pasco, 6816 Gale Boulevard, 4847 North Armenia is the Midtown location, and the Veterans location, which is 40 lanes, 5555 West Hillsboro, 50 lanes, by the way, at the North Armenia location. And my golf buddy and radio colleague, Drew Garabo, is back at Pin Chasers this coming Wednesday night for Bone Bowling Night. My friends at 1025 The Bone sponsor Bone Bowling Night at Pin Chasers, and specific to the North Armenia location. Drew will be there for a couple hours. Just remember, it's unlimited bowling, 9 p.m. to close, for just $10.99 per person, and it is dollar drafts as well. Yes, $1 drafts. Their late night specials are outstanding, and I'm going to tell you more about their 13th annual Labor Day Marathon coming up in just a little bit. For more info, visit pinchasers.net or call 813-871-2695. Excuse me. Still getting over the cold. Nothing like a summertime Florida cold to knock you on your ass for about a week and a half. Love it. Just coming out of it, and right at the beginning of the cold, I still kept a meeting with Anthony at Pin Chasers to keep him on board the Toddcast and the Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments going forward, and I thank him very much for his support, as well as just for everything he does for people in the Tampa Bay area as a destination to bowl and play arcade games and group outings and summer camps. And very nice of him. He's even offering some special logo bowling balls we're going to be giving away as part of Pin Chasers packages at upcoming Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments. And I get a personalized bowling ball myself, which I've never had. But Anthony was just asking me, so Anthony, this is for you. He started the meeting off by holding up his device where he listens to the Toddcast, and he says, when are we going to talk football? And I said, Anthony, trust me, I've just been filling until things actually start. Because once we start talking football, that's it. There will be nothing else. And trust me, I wanted to get here, and I know some training camps are opening. But before we do that, Anthony, will you indulge me? Because there are a handful of you who have wondered why we have reached this many episodes of the Todd Wright Toddcast without much of a mention of the game of baseball, other than the Rays' creative way out of the lease at Tropicana Field, which won't work because the mayor and the city council are too smart for that. We haven't really talked the game of baseball. There's a reason why. Now, I grew up on the game. I loved it. I grew up for a time in Cincinnati, and my team then was the Big Red Machine. And that was a great time to be a baseball fan and to be a kid with your grandfather and friends of your grandfather and your uncles taking you to Reds games. Can name you everybody on the team. Johnny Bench at catcher, Tony Perez at first base, then Perez bailed in free agency. Dan Dreesen replaced him, no problem. Joe Morgan at second, Dave Concepcion at short, P. Pete Rose at third, George Foster in left, 50 home runs there. Cesar Geronimo in center. The great broadcasting call when Geronimo would be chasing down a ball defensively, Geronimo on his horse. Probably now politically incorrect. And Ken Griffey, no, not Junior, Ken Griffey in right field. And I could even name you some of the pitchers, but it would lead me to question some decisions that Sparky made in the 75 World Series, which, you know, people celebrate that Carlton Fisk home run. Yeah, just prolong the inevitable. The Red Sox lost that World Series to the Reds in seven games. So much like people say about the Phil Mickelson shot off the pine straw at Augusta, well, he missed the putt. I say about the Carlton Fisk home run, yeah, so what? They lost the World Series. Yeah. I was just reminded the other day, Sparky Anderson wore number 11. For some reason, I thought he wore number 10, but maybe that was Ron Oster later on. Anyway, back then, I loved baseball, and guess what? Most people did. It was different. It was a different time for sports. The world was just different. And here we are, 40 years later. It has been roughly 5 years since I've attended a Major League Baseball game. And I don't know when that's going to end. Even at a recent charity golf tournament that I was asked to play in on the Bay News 9 team, I put in the minimum bid as the Rays, very nice of them for this charity tournament. This is generally what they do when similar charity events around Tampa Bay ask the Rays for help. They send this voucher, which is good for four lower-level corner tickets to any game except a Yankee or a Red Sox game. That's what the voucher says. And people can auction it off. The minimum bid at this event was $50. I wrote in $50. Guess what? I won it. That's about what it's worth to people in going to Rays games, specific to that building and specific to where the building is located. But beyond just the Rays, I don't watch it on television the way I used to. You know, it used to be a big deal. I remember when I was younger, the game of the week on Saturday afternoons. You know, before there was must-see TV on NBC, some of those baseball games on Saturday, the game of the week, were must-see. When Dwight Gooden was young and pitching for the Mets, and he was on that Saturday game of the week, people were watching. I mean, there were other examples of it. That was just one for me. And I don't bring that up because Dwight got in trouble again. He's just a troubled soul, and it's a shame. Baseball's outdated. It's not just a Rays thing. And I know in a number of cities it is successful. But in most of these cities, the stadiums are way too big. They're full of empty seats on an every night basis. Now sure, not so much in Boston or New York or St. Louis or the north side of Chicago, and look at the south side of Chicago, it's entirely different, or in L.A. with the Dodgers' rebirth. But the majority of franchises in Major League Baseball aren't exactly filling a lot of their seats. And when, say, an ESPN puts this Game of the Week on Sunday night, you know, they rebooted it recently with Jessica, who does a great job, and they put Vasgersian and A-Rod, and the ratings still went down. Why? Because people aren't watching national games. They don't care. And that's what baseball has become. It's a 20th century sport. We are now 20 years basically into the 21st century, and baseball hasn't changed. And where I'll watch old highlights of the Reds on Instagram sites like This Day in Sports or via Freezing Cold Takes. It's all from the same guys, and they do a great job. And you know, I'll watch a brawl break out, and I'll look at the names on jerseys. I'll be like, I remember him. I know him. I know that name. I remember him. I had that guy's baseball card. Now, even if I'm just flipping through the channels and I see a baseball game, I'll look out there. I'm like, I don't know who these guys are. And I don't care. I really don't. The sport has a lot of problems. I firmly believe it is a dying sport. And the only reason why it still has cash is because there are all these regional television networks, not so much ESPN paying the bill, but these regional cable networks that air virtually every baseball game. If they didn't exist, baseball would be in big trouble because baseball is their novella. And for those of you that have are not familiar with the novellas, it's basically a Spanish version of a soap opera, and it airs every day. And that's what baseball is to these regional networks, which is why they pay so heavily for it, because without 6 months of programming, they would pretty much cease to exist. And sure, these same regional sports networks have NBA deals or NHL deals, but those are for half as long as you have with a Major League Baseball contract, which basically plays every day. And if you notice how these regional sports networks do it, you say, well, it's just a baseball game. It's only 3 hours. What are they doing the other 21 hours of the day? Have you noticed? No, because you don't watch. Here's what they do. First of all, most baseball games, and this is part of the problem, last well beyond 3 hours, especially games involving the Red Sox or the Yankees. So they're going beyond the, quote, three-hour window. It's more like 3.5 now. Then you have the half-hour pregame, which in some cases is longer than that. Then you have the half-hour postgame, and in some cases it's longer than that. All right, so let's just take a three-hour game that becomes a three-and-a-half-hour game. You're tacking on a half-hour pregame show and a half-hour postgame show. So that's 4.5 hours. And then a lot of these markets have these kind of like magazine shows that they run immediately after the postgame show for some reason. And they beat the hell out of these same shows over and over and over and over. And basically it's just an infomercial for the team. And they air them all year, and sometimes two or more seasons at a time. The Rays won't run one for the grounds crew, which I find odd because the grass doesn't really grow at Tropicana Field. Come on. So they have those shows. Then what they do is they take the 3-plus-hour baseball game, and they condense it into either a 2 or a 3-hour window, and they run it again at midnight. So that fills another 2 to 3 hours. Then they run it again in the morning when you're getting up in case you want to put the game on, which I don't know who does this. Then they run it again at noon, unless there's a day game the next day, to fill the lunch block. So they're basically taking one baseball game, and they're running it 4 times within 24 hours. Why? Because they got nothing else. They have no other programming. So without Major League Baseball, these regional cable networks would cease to exist. So, of course, they're spending money on baseball because that's their livelihood. If the regional cable networks went away, all that money also goes away. Let's remind you that this offseason, 3 players, Bryce Harper, Mike Trout, Nolan Arenado, signed for $1 billion. For most people, if those 3 guys, without their uniforms or any cap or any baseball markings, walked in a room of 100 people, roughly 95 of the people wouldn't know who any of them were, regardless of the city. Baseball has a problem. I don't watch it. I don't feel I'm missing anything. And it's not like I come back for the playoffs either. I don't. The sport needs a major reboot. And yes, I have some ideas. I'll get to those in just a moment. Let me remind you that Brandon Legal Group is your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. You can call for a free consult anytime, 844-4BLG4ME, or visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. Also, Pin Chasers is having their 13th annual Labor Day Marathon. And ironically, it's on Labor Day. Funny how that works. Monday, September 2nd, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. $12 per person plus tax, and you bowl as much as you want, as much as you can. If you show up at 9 a.m., I promise you this, at any of the three Pin Chasers locations, show up at 9 a.m. on Labor Day, plop down $12. They'll give you a pair of shoes, and even if you ask, they'll give you a new clean pair of socks to wear with those shoes. And you can go bowl until they close the doors at 9 p.m. and they'll never ask you for another cent. I don't know how many people can bowl for 12 hours. I would be in traction. I'd be in traction by 4 p.m. with my bad golf back. But if you want to do it, you can. It's the 13th annual Labor Day Marathon at all three Pin Chasers locations, Zephyr Hills, Midtown, and, of course, the veterans location. Visit pinchasers.net for more about the 13th annual Labor Day Marathon on Monday, September 2nd, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., $12. Bowl as long as you wish until they close the doors. All right, so a lot of people do top 10 lists. I like to give Letterman credit for inventing the top 10 list. I don't have 10 here. I did 8 real quick. I don't think these are too drastic. There's a lot of drastic things I'd love to do with Major League Baseball, and you'd say, well, those are ridiculous. You're probably going to say these are ridiculous, but if baseball implemented any or all of these 8 things, I'd start watching again. So here we go. Number one, you hear about 162 games being too many. It is too many. So here's what you do. You play one series a week. So let's take a team like the Cincinnati Reds. So 1 week they play the Pirates. Then the next week they play the Cardinals. Then the next week they play the Dodgers. All right? And you play one series and you play it Thursday through Sunday. And you're off the rest of the week. Yeah. Actually take some days off. It's okay. It's all right. It'll probably improve the quality of play. It'll cut down on injuries, and people aren't going to miss Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday games. Here's the caveat. On Memorial Day, that's a Monday. Fine. That week, you play Friday through Monday instead of Thursday through Sunday. Sure, do a game on Memorial Day. Why? Because people are off looking for something to do. Do it that way on Labor Day, too. If you have an excuse to play a game on Monday, you start the 4-game series on Friday. If you don't, you start the 4-game series on Thursday. And every week, you play 4, and then you're off 3. Now, in the case of where you play Memorial Day, you play 4, off 2, and then start Thursday the next week. It's going to cut significantly down on the number of games these guys play, but it's going to be better overall for the sport. Less is more, especially for the outdated model of Major League Baseball. One series a week, Thursday through Sunday. One team plays one team for those 4 days. Then they have, in most cases, 3 days off until the next series starts. Minimum, they're going to have 2 days off if they play Friday through Monday if it's a holiday. It would be better for the game. We just had a case, and I only know this because I watch PTI. I don't watch baseball. Games itself, the collisions at home plate. And now every time there is one, someone gets suspended, teams get pissed off. It's like, what are we going to do? A guy got a concussion. Remember the Buster Posey, blew out his knee. This is real simple. Every play at home plate is a force play. That's it. It's not a tag play anymore. I don't know why they haven't changed this already. You want to get the collisions out of it? Very simple. It's a force out. That's it. There's no tag anymore at home plate. Get rid of it. It doesn't matter if lead runner or whatever. No. Bases loaded. Well, then it's a force. No. Every play at home plate is a force play. That's it. There's no collisions anymore. Now, sure, you might have a fluke one where the ball is trailing into the runner and the catcher reaches in, but for the most part, you're basically making a play at home the same as a play at first base. How many collisions do we have at first base? They happen occasionally, but the first baseman knows, hey, I'm just trying to keep my foot on the bag and catch the ball and avoid the runner. The catcher can do the same thing. Make it a force out at home plate. The collisions are gone. One pitcher per inning. Can we stop with all this mixing and matching that slows games down? One pitcher per inning. And here's the way to enforce it. For those of you who say, well, what if a guy gets hurt and, you know, teams are going to lie? Oh, I got to pull him out. Very simple. It's one pitcher per inning. And if your pitcher is hurt, if you're going to play that card to get around cheating, the only way you can remove a pitcher from the game within the inning is he automatically then goes on the 10-day injured list. So if you want to cheat and pull a guy out who isn't injured because he can't get anybody out, then he goes on the 10-day injured list. I don't care if you're lying or not. That will police it. So that way, if Aroldis Chapman is trying to close a game and he stinks, and Aaron Boone wants to get him out of there, you can fake the injury. But guess what? Aroldis is on the 10-day injured list starting the next day. You don't have use of him for 10 days. Doesn't matter if he's hurt or not. That'll police it. Also, we're employing the one pitcher per inning into let's shorten games. Since we can't use pitch clocks or batter clocks to keep them in the box, we're going to do a few other things. We're going to employ a mercy rule after seven innings. Call it seven after seven. If after seven innings or after the team trailing by seven runs has batted seven times, the game is over. Let's just end it. Come on. Have there been comebacks? Sure. Are there usually comebacks? No. Let's just get it over with. Seven after seven. So if the road team is down more seven runs or more, and they've batted seven times, whether it's they've batted seven times or even the home team has batted seven times, game over. Same in the eighth inning, same in the ninth inning. That's it. Game's over. Let's move on. If the game is tied after eight innings, we're going to try to avoid extra innings, which just tack on length to baseball games, which we're trying to avoid. If the game is tied after eight, we're going to change some things for the ninth inning. Not wait until the 10th. Let's get it over in nine. So game tied after eight. You've heard about this, putting a runner on second. Well, we're already one pitcher per inning, minimum. Right? Maximum. So that pitcher cannot be removed. Now, in the ninth inning, in a tie game, bases loaded. Now, we're going into the ninth inning in a tie game. This isn't if the game is tied by the team that starts the top of the ninth inning. So let's say it's Dodgers at Reds, and it's 5-5 going into the ninth. Okay? Dodgers coming up to bat. Dodgers get to in reverse order. So whoever's batting, you take the three previous players and you put them all on first, second, and third. Yep, start with the bases loaded. We're trying to end this damn game. Putting one runner out there doesn't do enough. Put the bases loaded because you're increasing the likelihood because the home team's going to get the same thing. I mean, you're generating runs here. And the more guys you put on the bases, the more likely are you're going to get more chances at runs. So again, ninth inning, tie game, bases loaded to start the inning. And again, you're limited to that one pitcher. Now, if somehow we're still tied after nine, we do the same thing in the 10th. I promise you, There will be very, 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 very few games that go 11 innings anymore in baseball with this model, because you're creating the likelihood of so many more runs being scored. We're just trying to end these damn games. Now, if it is, say, Reds up 5-4 going into the ninth, and the Reds give up one run in the top of the ninth, it's 5-5 going to the bottom of the ninth. No, Reds don't get to start the bottom of the ninth with the bases loaded. You use the model then in the 10th inning, and you would use it in the 11th and so on. But you use it in the ninth if the game is tied going into the ninth inning. All right, here's another one that's going to significantly shorten games. The foul ball on two strikes, you're now out. Let's just get rid of that. It just prolongs at bats. It adds to the length of games. No, if you're the batter and you're down two strikes and you choose to swing at a pitch with two strikes, you either put the ball in play or you're out. That's the way it is now. It will also significantly shorten games. It will also change the strategy of pitchers, and it will change the strategy of hitters. But you basically, you get a do-over. I mean, what other sport do you just get a do-over by fouling off a ball with two strikes? If you bunt with two strikes, you're out. Let's just increase that. Now it's any type of swing. Either the ball's in play and you get on base, or you're out. Also, another thing that lengthens games is when pitchers have to keep throwing over to first base, and fans always boo, especially if it's the visiting team that's throwing over to first base. So we're going to take stealing bases out of the game entirely. That's the only way to prevent a pitcher from throwing over to first base. Because why is he doing it? To prevent that guy from stealing. Well, if you take stealing out of it, he doesn't ever have to throw to first base. He's basically John Lester. So remove it entirely. The only stealing, and they're using this now in the Atlantic League, is to steal first, which I like. And if you're not aware, in the Atlantic League, they just started this. If you are a batter at home plate on any pitch, if the catcher doesn't cleanly catch the ball, you can just take off running for first base. Just go. Try to steal first base. That is the only steal now allowed in the game. There's no stealing of second. Now, if a pitcher throws the ball by the catcher on a pass ball or wild pitch, that's different. So again, the only time you can steal, and there's no pitcher throwing over to first trying to prevent the guy, well, if I throw this all the way to the backstop, then he has, no, that's irrelevant. So the only time anyone can move up a base is when the catcher doesn't cleanly field a ball. So if you're trying to go from first to second, second to third, third to home, that's still fine, and home to first. What I'm saying is, as long as the ball is caught cleanly, you can't just take off and run from first to second, second to third to home. That will also shorten the game. And here's one more. In no other sport do you get to snack while you play. You don't see this in hockey. You don't see this in the NBA. And when you do see it in preseason games in the NFL, it's famous, like Mark Sanchez eating a hot dog during a preseason game. Baseball players need to stop snacking while they're playing the game. And we're now giving them two to three days off every week to actually not be hungry anymore. So let's remove all the stuff, all the snacks that are in the dugout that they're always spitting out, you know, putting in their mouth. All that needs to go. You want to chew some gum? Go ahead and chew some gum. But all these seeds and other things and having them in their pocket while they're on the field, no. Remove the snacking, play the game, If you want to chew some gum, that's fine. You need water, I understand that, or Gatorade. But the snacks and all those other things that are just right there in the dugout and you put in your pocket while you're out there on the field and, oh, I'm just going to eat a bunch of sunflower seeds here and spit. Gone. Just remove that. It's just the optics on it are horrible compared to other sports. So there's the eight I came up with. If baseball would employ any of this, I promise you, the game would be better. I would watch, and I think some of you might watch as well. Just my idea. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group, 844-4BLG4ME, 844-4BLG4ME, and by Pin Chasers, celebrating their 60th anniversary in Tampa Bay. Remember the 13th annual Labor Day Marathon, Monday, September 2nd, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., $12. Bowl as much as you want, as much as you can. At any of the three Pin Chasers locations, visit pinchasers.net for more details. Thanks for listening to the Toddcast. Please subscribe. Please tell your friends. We'll talk to you again next time.